And welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here in the main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh and I am back here on the podcasting wagon with Sondra. Hi Sondra, how are you?
Hi Kenny, I am doing all right. I had a lovely, I say weekend in New York. I was in New York for like a day for my cousin's wedding, but it was lovely. We were on a mountain. Like she got married on top of a mountain, which was very cool. We actually had to take ski lifts to get up to the ceremony. It was super pretty. So yeah, it's just been kind of a long weekend of driving since it was 11 hours each way, and I'm just recovering from that. But everything's pretty good. How are tour things with you?
Very good. Bret Hart's fun, and some great stories, and some good topics. Like I think night one we talked about Bret's WrestleMania matches. Night two we talked about his SummerSlam matches. Night three we talked about Bret's WWF title reigns. Night four we talked about what was the other topics? His relationship with Vince McMahon. Then last night we talked about the Hart Foundation run 97. And then it's looking like tomorrow for our last show is going to be Bret's return run in WWE from like 2006 to now. So pretty interesting topics. He's very dry, but like he is quite funny when you kind of get to know him. So one more show and then time for me to take a few days to just, I say not do anything. I still need to podcast, but that's all I need to do. I don't need to leave my house. So, and I get Hulk back, my son, my child, my.
I was gonna say, when do you get to be reunited with Hulk?
Thursday, two more days. Okay, can't come soon enough. So there we go. But we will get into all that. Are you ready, Sondra? Here. So basically, what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about the draft on this episode, the SmackDown and Raw draft episodes. The overrun, we're going to talk a little bit about NXT and AEW that happened. Then we're going to be back. Sondra and I are taking Finn's spot on the kind of Thursday-Friday show, where we will just talk about week three AEW versus NXT head-to-head. Finn and I will then be back next Monday to kind of cover all the stuff that he's missed. And then it'll go back to normal next week of the proper schedule. Finn and I on Thursday and Friday, Sondra and I the following Sunday, blah, 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 blah. But are you ready?
I mean, I feel like every time we set a regular schedule, there's going to be something that happens. But it's okay because we're putting out podcasts and we're talking about the wrestling and there's a lot happening and Bray Wyatt's house got burned down again and I'm not happy about it.
Are you ready to talk about the most underwhelming draft of all time?
Sure. Is it more underwhelming than the Superstar Shakeup though? Like, I
yes.
Don't know that it could be more underwhelming.
Here's why. Let me give you one.
This one does have a robot.
I feel like you're making something. I feel like you're trying to create your own storyline.
I think I probably am. I just want to know more. We'll get into it. The war rooms are my favorite things.
The thing is, so like, there's one point where Stephanie McMahon says, "Let me get the line. I need to get the line," because it just like tickled me so much. So on Raw, when Stephanie came out to do the picks for who's going where, and she says, let me get it, so good. Oh, come on. So she's
while you're looking for it, you mm-hmm. want to know one of the things that I find really hilarious?
Mm-hmm.
That on SmackDown last week, Friday, and then on Raw last night, they had a match, right, to determine whether Raw got to pick first or whether SmackDown got to pick first. But, like, doesn't Raw have to pick first because they get three picks for two?
Yes.
Like, none of this makes any sense. All of the convoluted rules that they have surrounding the draft, like, they don't make sense.
The idea is that if there's, like, two and three every time, the SmackDown should get to go first, then Raw, then SmackDown, then Raw has the last two picks left.
I guess, but, like, why does that even make a difference?
Here's Stephanie's quote. SmackDown is about to become more eco-friendly with the addition of Daniel Bryan. He has been on that show for 18 months.
Yep. Oh, my favorite. One of my favorite lines last night, I think, I'm trying to remember what round it was. It was when Bayley got drafted and who are the Raw Tag Team Champions currently?
There, it's now the Viking Raiders.
Okay, I think they got drafted to Raw, maybe. Who was in Bayley's like round?
Because I mean, you're asking me. I mean, I can get it. Give me like 30 seconds, and I'm.
Or maybe it was the Kabuki Warriors got drafted to Raw. I think that's what it was. I think the Kabuki Warriors got drafted to Raw,
and then we immediately got told that they're on both shows.
Well, yeah, they immediately got told that they're on both shows, but like I did. The way they explained that was fine because they were like, okay, if they lose the titles, then Raw has exclusive rights to Asuka and Kairi Sane.
Which
fine.
Means that Paul
I can
Heyman,
handle that.
Which means long term, Paul Heyman is going to get Asuka. I am happy about that.
Yeah, no, and that's great. But it just made me laugh because, like, Dio Madden, bless his heart, is like trying to be very like, I'm pro Raw and I'm team Raw and I'm so excited about everything that Raw is getting, right? And it just cracked me up because he's like, Raw just got even more championships. And, like, it was in the same round that Bayley got drafted to SmackDown as champion. And I was like, well, yeah, SmackDown just got their champion, too. Like, all of the stuff that they're saying to surround this and try to make it exciting is just like, but yeah, like, the Raw champions all got drafted to Raw and the SmackDown champions all got drafted to SmackDown. Surprise? Question mark?
Do you think that the idea that the wild card rule was around, is that what really hurt the whole thing?
I think so, because I mean, it's not, the thing is, we haven't had two distinct rosters for a while, right? Because we've had both champions on both shows. Like, we've had Bayley showing up on Raw and we've had, you know, Becky showing up on SmackDown and whatever. So it's not like we haven't seen these people come head to head, which is why, like, Survivor Series, I don't know if they're going to do champion versus champion, but it's not going to feel that epic or interesting because we've seen these people fight before. I mean, I guess like Bayley versus Becky could be interesting. I'm intrigued to see that. But like, you know what I mean? Because we've seen all of these people kind of intermixed and it doesn't seem like, oh, wow, we haven't seen this person fight for over a year because they've been on different brands. And it doesn't really feel like any of the combinations of people that we have after the draft haven't seen each other in recent weeks because they've all just been on both shows.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I don't know if they could have come up with a really interesting draft, given that there has been a wild card rule and all that kind of stuff. But, like, so here were the main issues. So we had the fact that they released a... Because the thing is, when they released the information about the draft, I actually thought it was going to be pretty fun. Because I was like, okay, so
yeah,
Fox
no,
and,
I was excited about it.
Fox and USA are picking the people. We've also got that, you know, there's a draft pool and we know who's up for grabs in each night and all that. Like, that was fun. And then they gave us like the first 10 picks in the order that the pool had been putting out. And then they
I think this is where it was helpful that I haven't really been keeping up on like Twitter and I didn't really pay attention to much news before the draft.
But
I was like,
then,
whatever, I'll just watch it.
But then they decided, oh, well, fuck, we're doing this in the exact order. We need to shake things up. So we were told in the rules that Fox or USA can take a tag team unless they want to take somebody from a team, then they can do that as well. So Raw took Alexa Bliss, right, as a pick. Then...
Oh, is Nikki on SmackDown?
Then Raw's next pick was Nikki Cross.
What the hell?
That was their way to, like, make up for... But then in doing that, they made it even worse. Because then it was like, well, why would Raw waste two picks on something that they could do in one pick?
It doesn't make any sense.
So, I mean, I guess let's try and kind of make as
well,
much...
Well, and how many people are undrafted still? Because there are a whole bunch of people that are undrafted, and some of it they were trying to attribute to injury, but, like, some of it is just people aren't drafted.
Well, they did say, in their defense, they did say that if somebody does not get picked as one of the main picks, that person then becomes a free agent, and they can kind of, you know, go, you know, they can negotiate to wherever they want to go. We were in Cork that night, and we deliberately went back to the hotel. We set everything up. We'd had some, we were fairly drunk, but not drunk enough for, like, you can't watch wrestling. We weren't, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Drunk for watching
yeah,
wrestling.
We weren't, like, you at that drag show drunk. We were, like, drunk
that's
like, to
an exceptional
a,
case.
To a level that was
or
fine.
You leaving your phone in taxis, yeah.
Yeah, okay, no need to throw shade in my way.
I'm just saying, goes both ways.
So,
just like me.
Oh God. so the thing was, we got this takeaway. We're all set to go. We had food. Everything's good. We're all ready to go. And then SmackDown gets Bray Wyatt, and I just went to bed. I was like, okay, like I was pretty much like anybody can go anywhere, but please keep Bray Wyatt with Paul Heyman, because I just feel, even if, and if people can tweet me, well, you know, they're all booked by the same guy, and that's true. I just feel a level of comfort with him being a show with Heyman than I do of him not being. That's just me.
And I was thinking of it more in terms of like, since I watch SmackDown more than I pay attention to Raw, except for I had to watch Raw last night because we're doing this. But, you know, for me, like, I'm going to be watching SmackDown a little bit more. So I was like, okay, right. Randy Orton's on Raw. Brilliant. Bray Wyatt's on SmackDown. Brilliant. Daniel Bryan's on SmackDown. Excellent. Like, that's more how I was watching it, because I'm like, yep, these are the people that I would like to see.
So on SmackDown, we opened the show with Reigns versus Rollins in a match to determine who gets the first draft pick, which, like you said, doesn't make any sense or matter. It doesn't matter who wins, because Raw always gets the first draft pick. But then Wyatt ends up coming out and, you know, basically beating up Rollins again. I kind of feel like I'm now immune to seeing it.
He dragged him to hell, though. He came out of a trapdoor.
He did drag him to hell, and I did appreciate that. That was a new way to do it. So I, you know, I'm always going to be a fan of Bray Wyatt killing Seth Rollins, the worst babyface of all time. So
I just want a gif of Seth Rollins' legs, like, going into the trapdoor, because I found that quite amusing.
It was lovely. And then, you know, the announcers, they explained it to their critics. They said, you know, Seth Rollins has been victorious because he was beaten up by Bray Wyatt. That was the DQ. So Stephanie comes out, and then she says, no.
Did she feel like Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns should have been a bigger deal?
Yes, and it is just not.
It just kind of felt like it was happening, and, like, I don't know, there's an interesting story to tell there, or there could have been a really fun character dynamic to set up that match, or I don't know.
I feel like they don't really want to bring up the Shield, because then it brings up the third person. And they
but that's what I mean, though. Like, the absence of Jon Moxley at this point is, I guess, maybe hard, like, because you can still talk about how Seth and Roman have been brothers, but they've turned on each other, but, like, they're pals again. And, like, I don't know, they just didn't even mention any of their history, which I was just kind of baffled by, because that would make the match a little bit more interesting, you know?
It would. But we then get we can now do the picks for Raw and SmackDown. So we first of all get Raw taking Becky Lynch. Great that she was the first pick. That was the woman who is the main woman in WWE, her being picked as the first one was great. SmackDown then pick.
Yeah, and it makes sense. She's the Raw champion. Like, even though I want her on SmackDown, because of course I do. And I thought Fox would want her, actually. But Becky being the first overall draft pick, I think, is awesome and well deserved. And she's the best, and I love her.
So Becky goes to Raw. Roman Reigns stays on SmackDown. Then
I wonder if he'll actually bother to show up on SmackDown from now on.
Then Raw gets the OC. Bray Wyatt is the second pick of SmackDown, and then Raw gets Drew McIntyre. So, I mean, apart from crushing my soul that SmackDown got Bray Wyatt, all the picks made sense. They were all in the order that were online, which was the problem. Now, let's not...
I am glad I didn't know about this before I watched the show.
Let's not bring up the War Rooms till the end, because that's the highlight. So we'll leave the War Rooms. We had King Corbin as Chad Gable. He's now called Shorty Gable. Corbin beats him. It's so rubbish. It's not even funny. Like, why is he Shorty Gable? Because I don't buy the idea. He's like, I'm going to take this name and I'm going to make a Drag Race reference here, which people are not going to appreciate. Look at Drag Race UK, Something Wong, the drag queen. The reason that Something Wong is called Something Wong is because the man behind the makeup is Chinese, and he was like, well, I'm just going to take all the kind of microaggressive racial slurs and turn them into something funny, and I'm going to take that back. That makes sense to me. Chad Gable going, people call me Shorty Gable, so I'm just going to take the name. Well, that makes you look a geek.
Like, he's supposed to be rising above it. He's supposed to be doing a similar thing, but it's I just don't think he's pulling it off. Like, it reminds me of the frustration I felt when Alexa Bliss was like, Bayley's a terrible person and she was mean to me in NXT. And Bayley was just like, I'm not going to let your bullying get to me. I'm just going to laugh it off and not react to it. Like, if Chad Gable was like, okay, fine, you're going to call me fucking Shorty, then I'm going to beat you. But like, calling him Shorty and then just having him lose to Baron Corbin again when he's been fighting Baron Corbin forever, it seems, doesn't make sense to me. And Chad Gable's just such a better performer than that. Like, even when they drafted him last night, they called him Shorty Gable. And I'm like, why is his name Shorty now? I don't understand. Like, you have a lot of people on your roster who are shorter than Chad Gable, and like, Chad Gable is such a phenomenal professional wrestler. Why is this all he's reduced to?
It's funny because Ollie and I had watched, and we'll talk about AEW a little bit in the overrun, but we were watching this the Chris Jericho interview on AEW, right?
Mm-hmm, and brilliant stuff.
And it was cool, right? Like, it was cool. This is not cool. Like, I would be, and I've said this before, and I'm not saying this is the way you should watch wrestling, but I think this is valid to bring up, is that, like, if something's really good, a non-wrestling fan should be able to see it and kind of appreciate what it is, at least. If a non-wrestling fan sees this, they'd be like, you spend your time watching this? And if it was this, I'd kind of go, yeah, I can't really blame you for thinking that it's embarrassing, because it is. It's embarrassing, it's stupid, it's... Oh, it's the worst kind of...
It just doesn't make sense. Like, it's just dull. Like, it's that's the most egregious thing to me, is, like, calling him short, okay, fine. Like, be offended, don't be offended by it. But, like, it's just dumb.
Well, it's not even calling him short. It's just, like, the name of, like, Shorty Gable. It's just, like, so, like, 1987.
I feel like we're back in the days of Bob Sparky Plug Holly. And I mean, don't get me wrong. If Chad Gable wants to grow out a glorious mullet and add vroom vroom noises to his music, I am here for it.
Up next, we get Raw gets Randy Orton.
Yay!
Sasha Banks goes to SmackDown. Ricochet to Raw. Braun Strowman to SmackDown. And Lashley to Raw. So basically, I mean, I guess Orton is like a big draft pick. I just don't really care.
I care that he's not on my show.
Well, every few weeks you're probably going to have to watch the show still.
I know.
But these were all just kind of like, I didn't really feel anything for any of these picks. Did you? I mean, apart from Randy Orton.
Well, I was very happy that Randy Orton went to Raw. And I was also happy that Braun Strowman came to SmackDown, just because, I don't know, I still have fondness in my heart for Braun Strowman, although they're doing the best they can to beat that out of me. But like, Braun on SmackDown could maybe be interesting. Maybe. He's been on Raw pretty much the whole time, so mixes things up a little bit. I like Braun. I think that you could do interesting things with Braun. They are doing none of those things currently.
Oh, you mean setting him up to lose to Tyson Fury?
Right, that.
So, we have the promo with Heyman and Lesnar. Heyman's cutting a promo about the Cain Velasquez match at Crown Jewel. And Heyman cuts like a good promo here. I mean, Velasquez comes out at the end, speaks in Spanish, and then Mysterio is translated saying that Velasquez is going to give Lesnar a matching scar on the other side of his face. And like, this was good stuff, but for some reason it's not clicking for me. And I don't know if Crown Jewels has something to do with it, but like, it just didn't click. Did it click for you?
It would click for me if I were planning to watch the match. But like, it being at Crown Jewel really hurts this for me, because I think I'm more into Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez than you are. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why it works for me, but I'm into it. Like, I'm really into it. And it bums me out that it's happening at Crown Jewel, because I don't want to watch Crown Jewel. So it's hard for me to pay. It's like when I was a senior in high school and I didn't have to take my final history exam because I was a senior and I was going to be leaving, and everyone else in the class was sophomores. Like, I didn't pay attention to the last 2 months of school because I didn't have to, right? I was leaving. So if I'm not going to watch the match, why would I pay attention to the build? It's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, because I would have, you know, I'm going to watch Crown Jewel. I don't know if the Crown Jewel thing has anything to do with it. I can't really figure out why it's not clicking for me, but maybe just because this draft, like, I was really excited and I was hoping it was going to grab me, and it didn't grab me as much as I'd hoped.
I really like the shared history between them. I think, like, Cain Velasquez coming out and cutting a promo in Spanish was awesome. Like,
it was good. It was good stuff. I just don't know why.
And it's a different use of Brock Lesnar, too. I think there's an uncertainty to it, which is what works for me, because Cain Velasquez, he has signed a deal with WWE now, right?
He has a multi-year deal, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this feels like a very different type of fight for Brock Lesnar. And, I mean, I think a lot of wrestling fans have misgivings about the fact that, like, the UFC guy can come in and immediately get pushed in the title scene and just kind of have that happen, right? Like, that's what happened with Ronda. That's what happened with Brock. That's what happened with whoever. But it is interesting. And for a long time, we didn't want Brock to be Universal Champion because he was telling the same story over and over and over and over and over. And this is a different Brock Lesnar story. So I kind of appreciate that facet of it, too.
The story is good. I'm hoping it's going to click for me soon enough. Kofi Kingston, man. What a fucking joke. Like, does he even care that he lost the title?
I'm very annoyed.
Like, this whole thing just confirms, who cares that you beat in 7 seconds? This is the way he reacts. This is the way the character reacts. Like, honestly, like, he came out here and I was like, you were world champion for 6 months? You? Ugh.
I liked him as champion, but he is not reacting to this loss, and it's very clear that they don't have... I mean, I didn't expect him to go back to the championship picture. I didn't when he lost it, but, like, at least look angry about it, right?
Not even a promo. Like, I think I saw him have fire once as champion in the build-up to the Orton feuds. That was good. Apart from that, though, it was just same smiley Kofi Kingston throwing pancakes into the crowd, and now he's doing the same thing, and it's like... Yeah, it's just nothing. It's just, and I know it's the writing, it's not him, but this?
It's a bummer. It's a bummer. The New Day's making me sad. The New Day should never make me sad. I maintain they should stay together forever. They need to have friendship prevail. If the New Day can just, like, I mean, the New Day are on SmackDown now, still. So whatever, they can just go back to telling New Day stories, it's fine, but, like, if you were world champion and you lose in 7 seconds or 9 seconds or however many seconds it was, irrelevant, at least, I don't know, look pissed off, do something, say that you want it back, say that you're shifting your focus and you have to reevaluate or something, like, acknowledge the fact that this thing has happened to you.
It'd be nice.
Because otherwise, did the title ever matter to you, really? Because it was such a big moment when he won it, but then, like, it just doesn't indicate that that character really cares about being champion, which is not helpful.
No, it is not helpful whatsoever, Sandra. So New Day end up getting the win over the OC. Then we get round three of the draft picks, which was Alexa to Raw, Lacey Evans to SmackDown, Kevin Owens to Raw, The Revival to SmackDown, and Natalia to Raw.
So when did they draft Nikki?
On the next round.
Oh, next one. Okay.
Any thoughts on these picks? Any of them surprise you, excite you, thrill you? Kevin Owens to Raw, he's pretty exciting.
Kevin Owens to Raw is very interesting, I think. He's been on SmackDown for a little while.
Paul Lacey Heyman booking Kevin Owens, I like.
Paul Heyman booking Kevin Owens, I like a lot. Lacey Evans to SmackDown, fine, I guess. Like, I have concerns about the women's divisions overall because, I don't know, the SmackDown one is all heels except for Carmella, I think.
Yes, I think so.
Which is problematic. Unless Lacey Evans is meant to be a face now after Raw, I don't really know what's going on there.
I also love that, like, so, I mean, this is not a Lacey Evans thing, but, like, Natalia gets drafted and the USA Network War Room were celebrating. I'm like, what? like, what? What? You know it's Natalia, right? You know you didn't. You know you didn't draft like Brett in 1997. Like
they
that was
want
how they
her
reacted.
To. They really want her to be prominent. Bless her heart. I mean, like I think she had. You know, she had a decent enough match on Raw.
Could you have said that with any more like hesitancy? So yeah, you know they were fine.
But that means Natalia and Lacey are split now, right?
Yes.
Because Natalia's on Raw?
Which is why the match on Raw didn't make any sense, because if Lacey had already been drafted to SmackDown, why was she on Raw?
That's what I'm confused about. That's why none of this made any sense. Like, because I kind of, on Raw, I liked the idea. Sorry, we're just kind of jumping around, but fuck it. Like, I liked the idea that Natalia was like, okay, Lacey Evans has taken me to my limit. We've had these killer matches. At least one of them was good. And... you know, like we fought and fought and fought and now she's going to be my partner and she's in my corner and all that kind of stuff. That's interesting to me, but it can't go anywhere because they're on different shows. So what's even the point here?
Like, yeah, I feel that there needs to be like a guy whose job is like, he is Mr. Continuity, and the only way that you can put something through is like he has to sign it off. Like, even Vince has to argue with Mr. Continuity, like, right, how can we make this work? What if we did this? What if we did that? And it's like, Mr. Continuity has to give that thumbs up. And Mr. Continuity wouldn't have given it on this one.
I'm all about it.
On the next round, though, because obviously the New Day had won, so, well, it doesn't really matter because they don't go first. But the Viking Raiders go to Raw, the Lucha House Party go to SmackDown, Nikki Cross goes to Raw in the most wasted pick because she could have just gone with Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy Machinery go to SmackDown and the Street Profits go to Raw. So, I mean, most of it's the same. Lucha House Party are now on SmackDown. Who could give a flying fuck? I do not know.
Even I don't care.
And that's a bad sign. But do
and
you know
I
what?
Like Lindsay Dorado. I like Lindsay Dorado and Grand Metal Elite quite a lot. And
I liked when Lindsay Dorado played Game Night on the YouTube channel 2 years ago. That was fun.
Yeah.
The good thing is with SmackDown is even though there was a lot of like, it ended. In a glorious fashion.
I'm excited about Heavy Machinery still being on SmackDown. I think they're very good.
But they've been on SmackDown. Like, it's like saying, it's like me doing my room up, right? And like rejigging my bed, have my wardrobe over here, my drawers over there, and then 6 months later going, I'm so excited about my new room. It's been my room for 6 months.
Well, you can still be excited about it.
I still like it, but like, you know. But luckily, SmackDown ended.
It's more like I'm pleased that it hasn't changed. I'm pleased that they have not ripped Heavy Machinery away from me. I'm pleased that they did not like take my dresser out of my new room and throw it in the bin.
What I'm happy about is when we did the Hell in a Cell review, I had said my concern is that we're getting half pregnant Bayley. That was my big concern. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on, like we need the thing.
What did I say? I said I wanted her to change her hair and react to the loss.
So out comes Big Pam Martinez. She comes out. She has like some sort of like fork thing. She like kills all the wacky inflatable tube men.
Well, she was wearing a hood at first,
mm-hmm.
right? Like she had a sweatshirt on and it had a hood. And I was like, I see no ponytail bump. There's no ponytail bump there. Her hair's going to be down. This is going to be a big moment. And then it was, and it was great. And then she killed the tube men. And I had a whole lot of feelings about it. And everyone was like, is Sandra crying? Is Sandra okay? And I'm so relieved, Kenny. I'm so relieved that we don't have to have the exercise in sadness that is like babyface Bayley, who's just tragic and boring and not a good character. She's reacting to her loss. She's doing exactly what Kofi Kingston should have done, except for like Kofi Kingston shouldn't turn heel, but you know what I mean? Like this loss affected her. She wants her fucking championship back, and she's gonna do what she has to get, or she's gonna do what she has to do to get it back, and she did. And I'm just, oh, it's beautiful.
It was so she comes out, she looks great. Robert had messaged me saying, I love Pamela's I want to speak to the manager haircut.
Mm-hmm.
We are only weeks away from those inflatable penises. Can't wait.
Oh, that's right. His turn Bayley into a promiscuous lady storyline.
Yep. So Charlotte and Bayley have a title match, and then Bayley wins when Charlotte gets up to hit natural selection, goes to the figure four, and then Bayley counters it into an inside cradle, gets the 1-2-3. Bayley is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And then she took the microphone and said, "Hey bitches, screw all of you." Drop the mic, pose to the belt. I love this Bayley. I love that she's turned. I love that she's now saying, fuck you to the kids. I like the kids are crying because you know what? Kids, heartbreak is good sometimes. You deserve it.
And you need to learn. Heartbreak. This world is cruel.
Well, I mean, this world is cruel. But yes, you need to learn it for all the worlds. This is great. This is brilliant. Best part of the show by a mile. Great storytelling, which is a rare thing to say these days.
No, it makes sense. A character reacted to something that happened and grew and changed and is now a different person. And I'm so here for it.
But
like,
also,
it's going to be great.
It's like, there's a similarity to the Shawn Michaels thing that I mentioned, because Shawn Michaels reacted to the way fans reacted to him from SummerSlam. Bayley reacted to how, you know, she had kind of went with her friend Sasha, but she didn't see why her character would have changed. She was still friendly and happy. And then Charlotte beat her. Like, it was no tomorrow, and the fans didn't care, so she turned into a big old baddie, and it was great. thumbs up for
And I
me.
love it. And it worked, right? Like,
It
her
worked.
plan worked. Changing her character worked. Changing her character has had an effect on the show and on the storytelling. And she's like, fuck you. I'm going to do what I have to do. No more worrying about these tube men and kids and trying to please everybody. I'm going to do what I have to do and I'm going to be me. And I love that. And I like to think that maybe Drew Gulak was giving her lessons backstage about not caring about, you know, the better show or friendship or anything like that. Like, focus on yourself, do what you have to do, and then you win championships and it's great. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that there's been a character change, because the character was just so frustrating for so long. And it's kind of great that, like, to see this Bayley beat Charlotte feels like a big deal, because Charlotte still feels like a very big deal to beat, right? Like, when Charlotte won from Bayley, it was just kind of like, okay, right? Like, that makes sense. I wasn't mad. Charlotte's great. She's amazing. She totally belongs as champion. But I like the fact that Bayley was able to conquer, you know, the big bad Charlotte Flair because of her new attitude and everything. It's brilliant. And I want her to kind of rule the world. And it'll be interesting. One of the things about the draft that we haven't mentioned is now Becky and Charlotte are both on the same show, and Sasha and Bayley are on the other show.
You're jumping ahead.
I'm jumping ahead, but I'm talking about, like, you know, Bayley and Charlotte are not on the same show anymore. So Charlotte can't, like, go back for this title, right? It's going to be, but, like, Sasha and Bayley are still on SmackDown together. So what's that going to mean? Is it going to be, are they going to be friends? Are they not going to be friends? Like, I don't know. There are a lot of moving pieces that are going to have to fall into place in the next few weeks, I feel.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Gosh. Big Pam causing it. So, Raw, we're not going to go through all the stuff on Raw, but basically we're supposed to get Becky versus Sasha in a match for a pick. And then Sasha's got an injury.
The picks that make no sense.
The picks that make no sense. So Sasha then is injured just now. We don't know how serious it is. So it was Charlotte and Becky. Charlotte says she wants to be Becky's friend again. And then, of course, punches her in the face. Now, at first I was going, oh, this is great, right? Because Becky versus Charlotte one more time, because they're not going to be in the same show. Yes. Brilliant. I love it. Charlotte should be a heel, Becky should be a babyface, all the alignments are right, and then Becky beats her, and, you know, but she beat her in a way that Charlotte doesn't really lose a lot, and all this kind of stuff, and I was like, this is brilliant, fantastic, great open to the show, good match, the women are causing it. Then we get the picks. Seth Rollins to Raw, fine, no problem. Brock Lesnar to SmackDown, shocker, but the exact reaction that you would have in reaction to, you know, Seth Rollins being picked to Raw. Charlotte Flair to Raw. What?
Why? Why is this happening? Like, why are Becky and Charlotte together? Wouldn't it have made much more sense to separate them and then, like, eventually they could come back together? I mean, I guess I like this more than I liked the idea of Charlotte as SmackDown champion and, like, her facing Becky at Survivor Series, because we've just seen the match so many times. And it's always great. Becky and Charlotte were great again on Raw. Like, they are really great at wrestling each other. But you can't build it as, like, the biggest match ever when you've seen it so many times. And now, I mean, they can't really be in an alignment together right now, because they had sort of, like, a tenuous alliance before Raw last night. But with Charlotte being like, I want to be your friend again, and then decking her, I don't believe that there's going to be an alignment situation. So what even are we doing here?
They're going to feud again.
But they never even stopped feuding, like, at all.
Leave each Where's other Ember? Alone.
Where's Ember Moon?
Oh, God.
Like, but that's a legitimate question, by the way.
I don't know. But she was never going to get picked in the top spot because she's not there. But, like, the thing is, though, like, Becky
when
and
does
Sean,
Ruby Riott come back?
In, like, a year?
That long?
Well, it must be 6 months now. The problem is that it's like, Becky and Charlotte have great wrestling matches. Like, there's no denying that. But it's like, but you know what? I'll say this. If Becky and Charlotte are going to be in the same show, if anybody can make me want to see it, it's Paul Heyman. So I will give it that. I will give it that, and I will say, I've got all of my sort of, like, toys at the pram about it, but if he's in charge, I have some faith. New Day stay
I'm just
SmackDown.
Thinking, who else is on Raw for them to feud with that aren't each other?
When we
like
get to
Natalia.
The end, when we get to the end, I'm going to try and read out who's on what show so far.
Okay.
So we can kind of have a powwow. New Day stay on SmackDown. Andrade and Zelina go to Raw. Andrade Raw under Heyman. That's a good shot.
Well, I mean, we kind of figured once we saw Charlotte was going to be on Raw, Andrade and Zelina kind of have to be on Raw, right?
So Andrade and Zelina are on Raw. Andrade beat Ali in a match, which was good because Ali kind of, Zelina helped, so he didn't lose a lot from it. So,
It was a really great match, too.
It
I want
was.
more of this sort of thing, please. Although I think Mustafa Ali is on SmackDown.
Yes, I think he is.
Okay.
The Kabuki Warriors go to Raw. Daniel Bryan is going to make SmackDown more eco-friendly than it was before when he was on the show doing his eco-friendly thing. Rusev goes to Raw. Bayley goes to SmackDown. And Aleister Black joins Zelina Vega on Raw. So, again, a lot of people go into Heyman that you can imagine he would be like, I want that guy, I want that person, I want that person. I'm surprised that SmackDown. We'll get to them, but SmackDown has not come out here as with the A kind of roster at all.
Not really. I mean, do you think this is an interesting thing to bring up? Do you think that that's because Heyman very like carefully wants to be involved in selecting who's on his roster, whereas the SmackDown leadership may not have been quite as invested?
I feel that we are 6 months away from Heyman maybe running both.
That would not surprise me at
Because
all.
if he's
Because I
managing
mean, they just
Lesnar.
did we bring this up on air or off air that Bruce Pritchard just took over from Eric Bischoff?
I think it was on, but I don't know. But yeah, I have no idea.
But like that's a thing that's happening. So it doesn't seem like Eric Bischoff was really like that hands-on and insurance. Like, I mean, I don't know Eric Bischoff, but a lot of people have been saying like he was in catering a lot, or he was just kind of a figurehead or that kind of thing. Whereas, I mean, you know Paul Heyman, he's going to be involved in everything. He wants to make sure that he's involved in all the process, and he's going to want his people on the show. And he's Paul Heyman. He's going to be involved, right? So it's, I don't know, it's interesting to me.
So the Viking Raiders beat Ziggler and Roode for the tag titles, but the big story of this was because I mean we don't care about the match. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I
But
didn't really watch the match, but they're the champions now, so that Roode and Ziggler can come to SmackDown. I'm not very happy about that.
I'm so happy.
I'm
Yes,
so upset.
fucking yes.
I'm so
Sonda gets
angry.
to talk about Dolph. Yes. Well, no, the thing is though, like it's not really. I mean, because you and I are going to be talking about Raw. Finn's the one that's going to be talking about SmackDown. So
No,
really,
it's
Raw.
not.
Oh no, so it is. Yeah, so Finn's Raw, you're SmackDown again. Yeah, okay, so yeah, you do have Dolph.
Yeah, I
Yes,
have Bray too,
amazing.
but that just might be an exercise in heartbreak again.
Think it will be. But Ivar ended up saying the post-match promo that they have been the first team to be IWGP, Ring of Honor, and NXT, and now Raw Tag Team Champions. So interesting to bring that up on the show.
Yeah, that was a very interesting thing to bring up. And you don't tend to hear WWE acknowledging other promotions, especially like IWGP and whatnot. So it, yeah, I was kind of shocked to hear that, and also shocked that like them.
Yeah, I know. I think
The
Viking
War
Raiders.
Viking Raider experience are like that decorated a team. I actually kind of like them a little more now than I did before. They've grown on me a little bit,
I
but
think they're gonna have a. I think they're gonna have a really good feud with AOP.
I think that could be great. Yeah. Did AOP get drafted?
Not yet.
They are free agents then. I would like to see them show up on both shows and wreck people.
As would I. As would I.
Because it would make sense if they're free agents, right? It wouldn't just be like stupid.
Then we got the next round, which was Cedric Alexander to Raw. Shinsuke Nakamura to SmackDown. Umberto Carrillo to Raw. That was an interesting one.
Yeah. And Humberto Carrillo getting drafted not just via graphic, too, I found interesting. Because, like, Drew Gulak, who all got drafted to SmackDown via graphic? Drew Gulak was in that pool. And then EC3 was drafted to Raw via graphic.
There were some graphic people. We got Ali to
Which does
smack.
not fill me with hope. Everyone's like, yeah, you get Drew Gulak on SmackDown. And I'm like, I better actually see him on SmackDown and not just in dark matches, please.
We got Ali to SmackDown and Eric Rowan to Raw.
I am not pleased.
Why didn't they just take Harper and Rowan?
Yeah, where's Luke Harper? Luke Harper's undrafted. Like, are they splitting them up? Is Luke Harper staying on SmackDown? Why are Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan split up? I mean, I guess you can split them up because they're not really a team anymore, but I wanted to see more with Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. Like, I was genuinely interested in this story. I was genuinely interested in Eric Rowan and Luke Harper being back together. What? Why would you put Eric Rowan on Raw? I mean, like, I trust Paul Heyman with Eric Rowan more than I would trust SmackDown, I suppose. But like, I was really, not just because I'm me, but like, I think Eric Rowan was telling a very compelling story on SmackDown, and now it's just done.
I mean, I guess we'll see where it goes, because if Harper's a free agent, I guess he could maybe do something there. Maybe.
I hope so. Did you see Luke Harper's Twitter bios this week, by
no.
the way? Oh, I'm going to find this real quick because it was interesting. He said something about how NXT talent can cuss or whatever. Of course, it's taking me way too long to find this because my phone doesn't want to load pictures, and that's a problem. But it was something about like complaining about like NXT talent cussing, and then like the next day he changed it to "I'm happier than I've ever been."
Wow, he's just letting it go.
I don't believe that he is extremely thrilled with his current place in WWE. Someone is definitely writing out his contract. Oh, here it is. My phone will load. My phone's a piece of shit. Luke Harper, DMs are wide open. WWE threatened to fine me, but it's cool when NXT talent cusses on Twitter. Got it. Yeah, that was a few days ago. And then he changed it the next day to, you know, Instagram at this Luke Harper. DMs are wide censored open. I've never been more happy! !
That man just uses Twitter in such a strange way. It felt like 10 years he was just going, you know what happens on Monday?
Oh no, he's still doing that.
Oh my god.
This was in his bio. This wasn't even tweet.
I'm just saying he needs to change that thing. Because that's like...
Oh, I love it.
It's like when someone gets one bit of banter and like they don't get a new bit. And you're like, right, but that's been your banter for 6 months. Get a next one. Get another one.
I mean, you are talking to someone who's been booing Randy Orton for 2 years, so...
Yeah, but now he's going to Raw, so you're going to get new banter.
I know, I'm excited.
Now somebody else has burned in something Bray Wyatt, so you might be transferring.
The number of people who tweeted me boo Seth Rollins, it made me happy.
I think we should start it. Aleister Black beat Eric Young. Remember him, Eric Young?
Yeah, he looks way different without his hair and stuff.
He looks older than Tim Storm.
He does look very old.
And Tim Storm is 52.
Wow.
Next round of draft picks, Buddy Murphy to Raw. Again, under Heyman, that could be pretty interesting. My favorite draft
pick. Buddy Murphy and Humberto Carrillo on the same show could be kind of great.
My favorite pick of the entire two nights, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode to SmackDown.
I'm so angry. I'm glad you delight in my misery.
Oh, we've got so many promos of like Ziggler. Imagine the lead up to WrestleMania. He's the best damn thing going today.
Now he can just say that they're glorious too.
Yes.
I hate it. Thanks, I hate it. Send it to the sun. Oh my gosh.
Send
I'm
it
to
Friday nights, Sandra. Friday nights every week. He's here to show the world.
You realize that I have to get home from work like at midnight on Friday, and then I have to turn on this show.
What we'll
and
do,
those
ladies
are
and gentlemen,
my Friday nights.
Usually I ask Sandra who she wants us to play at the end of the episode. I have to play Dolph Ziggler this week. Because he is now part of Sandra's life again every week.
Fail. I don't like it.
Jinder Mahal to Raw. 2 years ago, that got me very angry. And Carmella.
I just think it's so funny. Did you notice that when they picked Jinder Mahal, they're like, we haven't seen him for a while, but this is a great pick because no one kicks out of the Coloss except everyone for the past 2 years.
Haven't like more people kicked out of it than not?
Yes. I mean, for a while that was true. Like, remember when he was champion and no one did kick out of the Coloss and you wanted to self-harm on a regular basis? But now, like, where are the Singh brothers? Did the Singh brothers get lost in the draft?
I have no idea. I mean, at this point, the Singh brothers should go back to Jinder because I feel like the Singh brothers and Jinder, when they broke up, they've never all of them done as well. So they should all get back together. Like, just get back together. You should.
Yeah, well, I mean, because the Singh brothers have been hanging out on on 205 Live for a while, which has been fine. But I don't think they ever like split from Jinder, did they? Or did he beat them up? I can't remember.
He beat them up.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll still go back to him.
Carmella to SmackDown, R-Truth to Raw. They're breaking them up, Sondra.
I am so angry about this. Like, I'm legitimately, this might upset me more than Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode to SmackDown. Why would you break up R-Truth and Carmella? Why? For what reason?
It's not the best move.
I don't understand. Like, I understand that Carmella pretty much has to be on SmackDown, but like, why can't R-Truth also be on SmackDown? There's no reason for him to be on Raw.
This just seems like one of those, like, let's break them up. You're like, okay.
It was like, who can we break up? R-Truth and Carmella. Why? They're so good together.
Maybe they have a plan. These shows did not fill me with that confidence, but maybe there is a plan.
Do not have a whole lot of confidence that there's a plan. I am very unhappy. Like, R-Truth and Carmella are so good together. I guess it'll be fun when they, like, maybe see each other at pay-per-views and reminisce about the good times. If we get vignettes like that, then fine. But they're so good.
Then we had Ricochet, who is the worst babyface promo in the world right now.
Like, he worse than Seth Rollins?
Yeah. Maybe one of those promos. At least Seth Rollins makes me feel like, makes me feel something. Ricochet makes me go, ugh.
I mean, Ricochet is just bland and generic.
Oh, he's a superhero, Sondra.
Apparently so.
You know, what he's learned is that no one is forced to be a passenger, and you and only you are the driver of your destiny. Die in a fire.
He sounds like a motivational poster. I feel like he's going to tell me to live, laugh, love.
See, if you want a motivational poster, do you know what they should do? They should go and hire Mark Merrill, who's currently doing school runs, because I'd rather hear him do this shit.
I would much rather hear Mark Merrill do this shit. I like Mark Merrill, so...
Do you know that what we've just suggested is we'd rather Mark Merrill over Ricochet? That tells you how bad the character of Ricochet is right now. It's not bad.
Great. And the thing is, like, I mean, I'm someone who loves superheroes, so I feel like they're trying to aim this at someone like me, because they're trying to be like, okay, right, like, we'll start having him be a superhero, and we'll talk about how he can fly, and we'll do all this stuff, and it's basically what they did with Adrian Neville. But, like... they're making it so bland. It's like people who don't understand comic books and superheroes writing for people who understand comic books and superheroes. It's the same thing as when they have men write for women on the show. Like, it just doesn't make any sense at all. You have enough nerds on your roster. Like, just ask one of them. It's not hard.
Ricochet ends up beating Shelton Benjamin. Then we got Lana. Yeah,
remember Shelton Benjamin?
No.
It was a good match.
It's like that thing that's like, for me, it's like, unless there's a story, and if the story is a man trying to tell me to be the driver of my own destiny and not a passenger, good lord. They might as well put a TNT commercial on at this stage. Lana is getting a massage. Bobby Lashley shows up and replaces the masseur. Lana then flips over. So they're, you know, they're just getting on in a public place. Fair play, go for it. You do you. Well, I mean, she's an adulterer, but, you know, whatever.
The thing that I don't understand about the whole Lana and Lashley situation is, like, right, so she's getting a massage, and they're just trying to make this salacious. And this does scream Paul Heyman, too. Like, this is totally a Paul Heyman deal. But she's, like, getting a massage or whatever, and the lady's massaging her, and she's just like, yes, I like it deeper. Like, it's supposed to be so suggestive, but it's just not that interesting. Like, if I want to watch someone talk about wanting it deeper, like, I'll just watch porn. It's not like you're that interesting, just having a lady be massaged on a table. Like, that's not what I tune into wrestling for, you know? And then when Bobby Lashley comes over, like, he has a great body and stuff, and he's like massaging her, and then it's supposed to be like shocking when she flips over and he's looking at her naked and like raising the eyebrows he doesn't have to be like, ooh, yes, look at this woman who's naked. You have fucked her on a regular basis recently is what I am led to believe, and you are shocked by seeing her naked on a table in front of you?
Pro wrestling.
I just don't, like, it's not that it offends me. It's not that I think that, like, ooh, a sexual storyline is a terrible idea. It's just not interesting. Like, I think Lana's trying, bless her heart, but, like, I don't know. Do you find this interesting? What's the use of this? Like, who
I
is this
mean,
helping?
look, if you were to tell me I can go down, I can go through two doors. I can go through the door of like 5-star wrestling matches to see how they are and enjoy them for what they are, or I can go down where the Lana Lashley Rusev things go. I'm 100% going down that door. Because I'm just like, I'm fascinated. Where is it going? Are they gonna start like a swinger society, and then like maybe like I don't know, somebody turns up that we know, like was the Godfather gonna give them some ladies? Is the
What if
boogeyman,
Summer Rae comes back?
what if, sure, bring Summer Rae along for the party? Like I'm here for it. It's story. It's terrible, but it's story
But
and
it's
it's
not even that
wacky.
much of a story, though. Like, that's the thing, is like, why is Lana with Bobby Lashley? She left Alexander Rusev for him. That's all we know. Like, nothing has progressed.
What
Nothing's
if
changed. It's not.
Lashley is the father of Maria's baby?
Ooh. I mean, everybody else seems to have had a crack at her, so. According to her.
Sure. Okay, anyway, let's move on. So we have the the Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman segment, which
What
the pinnacle of
even?
it is that Tyson Fury, who is the
Can't break a pen.
world heavyweight champion, and he wants to symbolize what he's going to do by breaking a pen, and it takes him 4 attempts, and he's like, that's what's going to happen to Braun Strowman. You're going to unbend him unsuccessfully 3 times?
Because it looked like, I mean, the way he was like fumbling with the pen, it made it look like it was intentional that he couldn't break it, but like, I don't think it was supposed to be. But like, what even is this that's happening? I still don't understand why they're fighting. They're making it seem like they're presenting this as though it's Austin and Tyson and it's this big thing. Like the whole Tyson Austin thing, even like we just watched that a couple years ago and it was like, it was fine, but like, it wasn't necessarily for me because I'm a huge fan of Mike Tyson. And at that point, Austin just wasn't my favorite on the show. That worked miles better than this, which is like Braun Strowman, who you've nerfed into the ground for years, and then Tyson Fury, who, like, I mean, I know people have sent me things on Twitter that he's a horrible human being. Like, so many people on the wrestling roster are horrible human beings. I can't use that to like justify everything. But even as a character, I don't understand who he is right now. Like, I understand Cain Velasquez, who I'm also not that familiar with, but I understand that, like, he and Brock Lesnar have history in UFC. He is a big bad motherfucker. He is coming for Brock Lesnar's title. I understand that. Tyson Fury is like, you threw Dolph Ziggler at me once, and now I'm mad about it. So let's like sit at a table, and Jerry Lawler can be like, you promised me no shenanigans, fellas. And they're like, no shenanigans. We promise, Jerry Lawler. And then did Braun Strowman just break the table just to like break a table to have something happen? And then Tyson Fury can't even break a pen?
100% accurate in all of what
Is
you
this the
said.
most underwhelming feud that we've seen in recent times? Like, I mean, I know Baron Corbin and Chad Gable is not like exciting, but like in terms of a big presentation, what even is this?
It's very underwhelming. It is very underwhelming.
And Tyson Fury seems like the kind of dude who like is a character in his life, right? Like he seems mental. He like dresses as Batman for a press conference. That's funny stuff to me. It's like, oh, of course. Like, yeah, do random shit. And even the way he like swaggered off after he finally broke a pen, he's just like, ha ha ha, look how quirky I am. That's cool, but like, I don't understand why you're fighting. Again, I'm not gonna watch the fight because it's, you know, it's at Crown Jewel and that's a problem for me. But like, just what? Like, I don't understand. It's like they're just presenting you some big thing and they're like, we promise this is very interesting and very important and it's cross promotional and it's a super big fight feel, but like, there's nothing there.
Tyson Fury might be getting paid the biggest of all time for this, and it's just like, it is not worth it. Like, who cares?
Like, is he bringing in viewers? It's obviously not aimed at someone
No.
like me. I'm already a pro wrestling fan. I'm already going to be watching a lot of this stuff. But like,
I don't think he is bringing in viewers. I've not seen it. I mean, I've not seen that the ratings have drastically gone
because I
up or
feel like Cain
anything.
Velasquez is probably bringing in viewers.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
But I don't know. Like, I'm not that familiar with boxing. I do find it interesting. Like, he's an undefeated world champion in boxing. And I think it was another Dio Madden line where he was like, we've never had an undefeated world champion in boxing of this level. come to the world wrestling or come to WWE and challenge one of our superstars. And it's just, it's real funny to me that, like, technically, I suppose you're correct, but, like, you've had bigger names.
Yeah, it's, it is.
Is Tyson Fury the level of, like, a Mayweather or a Mike Tyson? Is that how big his name is right now? I mean, that's a genuine question.
I've heard his name, but, like, I don't know. I don't hear that. I mean, put it this way, it did get picked up by, like, BBC Sport and all these different places. It is getting picked up by mainstream places. I just am very curious to see if that's going to turn into people getting the network for it. I don't think it is.
But, well, you know, and Braun Strowman is not a name that has national notoriety.
But then Big Show wasn't that really a national name.
True.
But then it's going to be, I mean, Saudi Arabia want big matches. They don't have any more old guys. So now they're going to pay for combat sports guys. Seems to be the new way of it. Anyway, we need to move on. So we had the next round of draft picks, which was Samoa Joe to Raw, The Miz to SmackDown, Akira Tozawa to Raw, King Corbin to SmackDown, and Shelton Benjamin to Raw. Did any of those picks excite you, Sandra?
I'm not very excited about King Corbin. Well, King Corbin maybe could be interesting on SmackDown, and Raw has been sort of his kingdom for a long time. So it's fine, I suppose.
You sound very excited.
I'm not trying to lie to the people.
But yeah,
the longer this draft went on, the more I just got tired.
They're all pretty random. Buddy Murphy beat Cedric Alexander in a match that went about 9.5 minutes, and it was pretty fun. I mean, if they develop some outside stories, it'll probably be more for me, but I thought the wrestling was good.
The wrestling was good. I was glad to see Buddy Murphy on TV. I enjoyed that part of it. Did Cedric Alexander get drafted?
Yeah, earlier on I said he got drafted to Raw.
Okay, I forgot. It was Cedric, so, you know.
Yeah, why would you be interested? Then we had the Street Profits doing a promo. Because earlier on the OC attacked them. The OC attacked them earlier on. So they're going to get like a mystery partner to take on the OC. So I guess we'll see who that's going to be. I like the Street Profits.
AJ Styles was like, why would you be drafted to anywhere? Because you suck and I'm AJ Styles.
I liked that they were getting involved in something. Street Profits are good. So
I love the Street Profits.
The next round of draft picks was...
Does this mean that they're leaving NXT, though?
Hopefully. Like, they've been there. They've done a lot. I don't know if them being on both shows feels weird. Like,
I mean, they should be leaving NXT, and they're not the champions anymore. So they can just be on Raw now, right? Is that what's happening?
I'd hope so. I mean, nobody really knows right now because I don't think they really know. The next round of draft picks, though, is Rey Mysterio to Raw, Shorty Gable to SmackDown, Titus O'Neil to Raw, remember him? Elias to SmackDown, and Liv Morgan to Raw. I mean, Rey Mysterio's kind of the big one there because it's like, you know, he's a big name, he's going to be on Raw, but the rest
of them... thing I find interesting about Rey Mysterio coming to Raw is that Rey Mysterio was currently with Cain Velasquez, who is challenging Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, which is supposed to be on SmackDown.
Yes, he's no longer going to be involved in that story. That's the way to take him out of it.
So do you think that that indicates that at Crown Jewel, Bray Wyatt is going to beat Seth Rollins and Cain Velasquez is going to beat Brock Lesnar and they switch?
I think that might be possible. Yeah, I think that could be something that happens.
Because that's another thing about this whole draft situation leading to matches at Crown Jewel that have people on different brands. Because I guess they didn't draft Cain Velasquez, right? They only drafted Rey Mysterio?
No, because he's not a proper full-time performer.
He's not a
yet.
Roster member officially. Yeah. So, but I mean, if he's going to remain with Rey Mysterio, then you would assume that he would be on Raw. So, I don't know. Like, that's the thing, too, is I don't like that Crown Jewel has all these matches set up, and then they're drafting people, and then it's like, either the outcomes are no title changes, or you kind of know which titles are going to change hands based on earlier matches and stuff, because they feature performers from different shows.
I do like your idea, though, of Kane beating Brock and Wyatt beating Rollins. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I would be all for it. I think that'd be a fun angle and a way to shake things up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I bet you fucking watch a bit of Crown Jewel then. up next, though, we got the women's tag team champions, the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi, going up against Natalya, and a mystery partner has turned out to be Lacey Evans. God, I love Asuka and Kairi Sane as wrestlers. They're just like
they're so good.
Asuka's the best. She ends up because Evans tries to do. She hits the right women's right on Kairi Sane, and she gets rolled up by pinned by Asuka. So Asuka,
because Asuka was legal, and she didn't realize it. Kairi Sane just dropping after the women's right was just such a beautiful sell job too.
Oh, it was great. She sold that like a champ. The Kabuki Warriors are doing really well right now. They're on Raw, which gives me some hope. But I don't know if there's any teams on Raw right now. So who the fuck are we going to defend?
Well, Alexa and Nikki.
Well,
I think they got drafted separately. They still are there.
So I guess that's the feud. That's going to be the feud.
The Iconics did not get drafted, right?
Free agents.
Oh, no. I want to see some vignettes.
I think they did get drafted. I can't remember where, though. I'm sure they were one of the ones. I think EC3 got drafted to Raw. There's a bunch of like online draft people, but I don't know who they are. Then we got the close of the show, which was Bray Wyatt hosting the Firefly Funhouse.
But was this meant to be a Lacey Evans face turn?
I do not know. It didn't. It was done in such a kind of like neutered way that I couldn't tell.
It's honestly like, the biggest bummer about this is that I was kind of intrigued by Natalya and Lacey as a team, kind of like how the bar came together, how Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch came together, right? Like they fight each other so much and take each other to the limit, and then they find a common bond and come together as a team and join forces and all that kind of stuff. That could be a really good story to tell. Oh, whoops, Natalya's on Raw and Lacey's on SmackDown and it just can't go anywhere. Like I was almost interested in a Natalya story, Kenny.
Almost.
That was so close.
So close. So the main event segment that everybody's talking about is that Bray Wyatt is hosting the Firefly Funhouse. Seth had said earlier in the show that he was going to go and find Bray Wyatt. Ramblin' Rabbit's worried because he says that Rollins is going to come and it's going to be really bad. And Wyatt's like, it's okay, don't worry. Like, everything's going to be fine. You're safe here. Go play. Rollins then leaps into shot, attacks Bray Wyatt. Pretty brutally. Then he's throwing pictures off the wall. Wyatt stands up and looks at Seth and says, "You know, why are you doing this?" And then he beats down Wyatt again. Fans are booing very loudly at this. Mm-hmm. Rollins says, "Burn it down." Rollins takes a lighter out and lights the Firefly Funhouse set on fire. The Fiend image flashes a few times while the Wyatt laugh track goes off as we close the show. Who knew you needed another person to burn down one of Bray Wyatt's houses? What did you make of the segment? I should say, before you mention how you feel about it, this was not a double turn, even though it felt like it fucking was. Seth Rollins is supposed to be the babyface here, Bray Wyatt's the heel. Dave Meltzer was speculating that maybe Fox don't want the Firefly Funhouse, and this is a way to write it off, but nobody knows that. But it was a way for Seth Rollins to apparently be a badass babyface who fights back against the Fiend, even though that's not how the fans are reacting to it. What did you make of the segment?
It's so tone deaf, isn't it? Like, it's insane to me, because as I was watching it, I knew that Seth Rollins was supposed to be the babyface, and this is supposed to be his badass gesture of getting rid of the evil, right? Like, I think Karan had said on Twitter to me that, like, but the puppets are being trapped there, and Bray Wyatt's been horrible to them, and how is Seth the bad guy? Because he's the fucking bad guy, because we love the Firefly Funhouse, and it's the best thing ever, and it's the most interesting thing WWE has done in months, and it brought me joy, and now it's burned down, and Seth Rollins can go die in that fire that he set, and I'm not happy about it, Kenny. I'm not happy about it at all. I do not take kindly to people burning down Bray Wyatt's houses. And now he has destroyed not only a house that I cared a whole lot about, but potentially this entire cast of characters that I love and adore. Like, Firefly Funhouse has been the best thing that WWE has produced in the past year. Do you agree?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And so you just want to get rid of it? And that's a babyface move? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I know it's supposed to be Seth, like, reaching down deep and finding his inner strength, and on paper that's how it goes, but like, these are the same people that thought Roman Reigns winning the 2015 Royal Rumble was going to be a babyface move, and it's just not. And I'm sorry, I'm really upset about it. Like, if they use this in terms of like, the Fiend comes back and gets revenge, and then there's a new funhouse and we resurrect the characters, and Ramblin' Rabbit's like, you know, going to be resurrected again, fine. If it's part of an ongoing narrative, fine, but they have not filled me with confidence that this is going to be part of an ongoing narrative and tell a good story. They have filled me with dread after Hell in a Cell and after the main event went the way it did. And seeing Seth Rollins like attack Bray Wyatt and stuff, it's just, it was fascinating to see someone else enter the Firefly Funhouse set, because it's always kind of felt very separate from reality, right? Like, it's always been this kind of set apart place. I think Bray Wyatt even tweeted at Seth Rollins, like, how did you find it? Are you dead? Like, how could you find this magical place that doesn't really exist in our reality? Like, it's supposed to be separate from everything else. That kind of thing was really interesting. I've wanted Bray Wyatt to bring other people into the funhouse. I've wanted someone else to kind of interact with them. But if it's actually just burned down and gone, that's not cool. I have like a little glimmer of hope, because I think Bray Wyatt is such a good character and has been doing so well at this for so many months, that like maybe there's a possibility that he's going to use this and go forward and do something interesting. But like Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins together has just been absolute nightmare, and I am not a fan of it, and I'm glad that it has to be done after Crown Jewel one way or the other, because they're on different shows. But like, if Seth Rollins just killed my Firefly Funhouse and turned Bray Wyatt into another exercise in tragic sadness, what even are we doing here? I can't. I'm very upset.
I thought the segment was actually very interesting. Like, I thought that what they were doing was a really cool idea of like Seth coming into the funhouse, and like he does that, and like the brutal beatdown and all that. The problem is what you're saying is the tone deaf part, which is that like he's turning heel essentially here, but we're not. It felt quite similar to me, and I mean it's different character motivations, but like it almost felt like when Roman Reigns beat Daniel Bryan at Fastlane, when it's like, well, wait a minute, we all want Daniel Bryan to win, and then you deliberately have Roman Reigns beat him. We all want the Firefly Funhouse, and then you have Seth take it away. It's like Seth taking it away associates Seth with that.
Yep.
And whether it is, I mean, I think it's going to come back. Like, I don't think it's going to go away. I just think that, like, sense will be seen at some point. But
it has to be, right? Like, they sell so much merchandise, and it's been so interesting, and it's been so fascinating, and it's been the best thing ever.
So, you know, I'm not going to write it off yet. I thought the segment was very good. I just think that it's all going to be about, do they, you know, if we're sitting here in a month's time and Seth is meant to be the babyface still, like, it's going to, but the idea is that, like, you know, they've got a history in the last few years of kind of not reacting to things that the fans want. And I just hope that that's not what they do here, because they do not need another example of them not listening to the audience, because the problem is you have another company who might start listening to the audience, and then that's going to kind of cause you trouble.
Another company who's been demonstrating that they listen to the audience, like Cody doing those Twitter Q&As after Double or Nothing and that kind of stuff, right? Like, they've been very clever about saying, hey, we are a company run by wrestlers for the fans and for the boys and for all this stuff. And if WWE is getting more and more and more of a reputation of not being that, then that's, I don't know, that's just not going to spell good things for them, I don't think. And like, I mean, I don't want to sound all doom and gloom right now, because this could be part of a bigger story. It could be part of a bigger narrative. Like, it could just be another step in the ongoing evolution of Bray Wyatt, right? Like, he has managed to actually progress and evolve since he debuted the Firefly Funhouse, which has been great. Another thing that bums me out, though, is like, I actually think this is a really cool story to tell, like someone coming in and burning down the funhouse and like getting rid of it and triumphing over the evil fiend. But it's way too soon to do that, because we've only seen Bray Wyatt in one, I mean, I guess two feuds now, if you count Finn Balor and then Seth Rollins. But he's still so new in terms of being part of the wrestling ecosystem in WWE that like, he hasn't really taken anybody out. He's still the cool thing. Like, you want him to be dastardly and take out someone that you love and like maybe have this happen in a year or two. Not now. It just feels truncated instead of like a big emotional release.
I'm worried, but I'm trying to not be I'm worried, but I'm trying to not be too like, you know, canny about it. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to,
I think, like, I just have like, I still have the stress of dealing with Bray Wyatt for so many years, not reacting to losses and just like being the same person. I don't want this Bray Wyatt to plateau and then just have the funhouse be fine and be like, oh, ha ha ha, everything's totally okay. Mm-hmm. Because that's how we got Bray Wyatt before, being an exercise in tragedy.
Well, by the time we talk on Thursday or Friday, we should have more info on where things are going, but overall, and what we'll do is on the next episode, we'll go through all the kind of where the rosters are now. Overall, how are you feeling about it?
Fine, I
You're whelmed?
suppose. I'm whelmed. I would say I'm whelmed. I'm not like, there are certain people on the SmackDown roster I like. There are certain people on the Raw roster I like. Without looking at the whole list of everybody who's where, it's hard to really judge, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know. I just, can we talk about the War Rooms just a little bit? Because, like, they are my favorite thing.
Yeah, let's finish with that. The War Rooms were absolutely tremendous.
Like,
I mean, like, why was there a robot and why was nobody talking about it?
I don't know. Apparently, like, Dio mentioned on Raw that there's Cletus, the Fox Sports robot. Like, I don't watch Fox Sports. I don't know who any of these people are. Like, I want to know more. And that's another weird thing is, like, all of the Fox people being interspersed throughout the show, I don't really get. Like, I know who the Mad Money guy is, but, like, why do I want him on my wrestling? I don't. It was weird. It was just a weird presentation. And there was a robot. And then in the Raw War Room for USA, there was a guy with face paint. Who was he? What's his story?
What's his story? Oh God, you're so funny. I mean, the thing was, they had this war room though, but the war room felt like they were not part of the same universe.
It didn't feel like the War Room were picking people either, right?
It
Like,
felt like the
I want to
war
know who
room
was
was like,
actually picking.
the war room. It felt like it was like, were they watching the same show? I
I
couldn't
don't
get it.
know. I feel like they were, because it was really strange because they, like, you'd think that the War Room should be the people who are, like, gathering around and, like, okay, we're going to pick this person or we're going to pick this person. But it felt like everyone in the War Room was just watching the program and reacting. So there has to be, like, a separate cabal somewhere actually doing the draft picks.
It would appear so.
I want a camera on that room too.
The war rooms were great. I mean, I think they made the right call not having the celebrities come out to do the picks, because I feel like that
Yeah.
would have been like the worst idea. Do you know what I mean?
It could have gone very badly.
Oh, can you imagine? Oh
I
my
can. And
lord.
I think doing the pre-tapes that they did was a much better situation.
Yes, it was. So, I mean, we'll talk about the full picks.
The robot did not seem happy about Eric Rowan going to Raw either.
In the way that he emoted it, no, he was not happy at all.
I mean,
He was
he
unpleased.
had his hands on his head and everything.
He was selling, man. He was
I
going for
love
it.
the robot. I thought the robot was killing it.
He was great. But yeah, I think the draft was let down overall just by the fact that most people are on the same place as they've been, or if somebody's moved, they've kind of been on both shows anyway. So like, it doesn't feel as big. So that's kind of the problem.
That's, yeah, I mean, like, it's fine. It's, I'm glad that there is a draft, and I'm glad that there are distinct rosters and that there's no more wild card rule. I did appreciate when WWE and Fox tweeted, like, in memory of the wild card rule, 2019 to 2019. May it rest in peace. But yeah, like, it'll, I think it's just one of those situations where we have to kind of see what stories they start telling with the distinct rosters and who's where. Like, I'm a little concerned about SmackDown just being full of women who are heels and not really having baby faces. Like, where is Ember Moon? Liv Morgan got drafted too, didn't she? To Raw?
Yeah, Liv Morgan was on Raw, so there was that. Yeah, there's a whole. It's yeah. It. I'm whelmed. I think I'm with you. I'm whelmed. I'm not quite where I need to be, but I think there's potential in some of the stuff. I mean, Rollins and the Fiend being false count anywhere at Crown Jewel. Kind of, are we going to see the Fiend win? I really hope so. But then, like, should Bray Wyatt's big crowning achievement be in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia?
That's the thing, is like Crown Jewel just is so icky, like with everything it represents. Like, I kind of prefer when it was just the old dudes and I could just pretend it wasn't happening. But now they're trying to, like, integrate stories. So I'm like, there's part of me that's like, do I have to check out some of these matches? I don't have time to, so we'll see. But I don't know. I'm nervous because things don't tend to go well on these Saudi Arabia shows either. Like, it usually seems like it's you being like, well, maybe if they do it right, then it could be fine. And then it's like really terrible.
Yeah, it never goes right in the end. So, but I mean, maybe this will be the card for Crown Jewel is really strong. You know, you've got
It kind of is.
you've got the nostalgia match of Team Hogan, Team Flair, which could be really fun. You've got that mental tag team World Cup thing. And then you've got Fury and Strowman.
Oh, yeah. What is that Tag Team World Cup? I just saw a graphic with, like, a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, so I think there's, like, how does it work? I'm trying to get the...
Is it, like, a gauntlet?
It is a tag team turmoil match to determine the best team in the world. With The New Day, The Viking Raiders, Heavy Machinery, Lucha House Party, Ryder and Hawkins, The Revival, The OC, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, and The B-Team. And then we've got the big three matches, Strowman and Fury. Lesnar.
But Tag Team Turmoil, isn't that like everybody in the ring at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of them?
Yes.
Is it a one-fall match?
No idea. We'll find out on Halloween, Sandra.
Even? This could be as much of a clusterfuck as the AJ Lee Invitational.
Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, Braun Strowman, Tyson Fury, and Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt. I mean, that's a stacked top three. And then yeah. Big Mansoor, he's back. Can't wrestle in North America, but he'll be there to wrestle Cesaro. So,
well, he can wrestle in North America. He just doesn't.
Just never does.
I think he was on NXT once or twice.
Yeah, I mean, he's not great. He's fine.
I don't know. I thought he was pretty good.
He's okay.
But he shouldn't be beating Cesaro.
No, but he will.
I know.
It's like everywhere else, the hometown people get embarrassed. In Saudi Arabia, they just get crowned like a king. Okay. Well, so listen. What are the plugs, Sandra?
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes is where you get tons of bonus content, including the ITR overrun that we are about to record right now, where we talk about NXT and some of AEW, what I can remember of it. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes for all sorts of interview content. Didn't you see that there are Bret Hart clips going up? There is one.
One's up already, and a second one's going up tonight. So go over and check
that
out.
That's exciting. I actually want to watch those tonight because I haven't been able to do that yet. So I'm excited. InsideTheRopes.co.uk/Foley for tickets to the Nice Day tour that just got announced yesterday. It's December 3 and 4. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Glasgow and Cardiff. Okay. We're finally coming
Glasgow
to Cardiff.
And Cardiff.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop coming at me about Cardiff. We're finally coming.
And tickets are also on sale for Kenny Omega in April, I believe.
So, yeah. Thanks a lot, everybody. Here's Dolph Ziggler. He's coming to SmackDown. Yay!
Send him to the fucking sun.
Bye.
Bye. I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.